Right. Just to a question Michael asked last time, who writes explicitly in the Kisser books that the standard approach for when not to take a shower post-tefillah is just at night? Rabbi Forrest writes that way. He doesn't quote anyone. He just says it, because that's what it sounds like in the Ramah. He puts a Moshe in one extreme, in the other extreme, and in the text he just says that night. Okay. So last time we began discussing our Chakos, we discussed Hoshata, we discussed Zvika, we discussed Nagi, which is Dina Degmar, we discussed Hoshata, which is based on Rosh Hashirashi, and we discussed Rika, which is an extension of that, that we have in the Sam Rishonim. We noted that even Hoshata doesn't appear in all the Rishonim, the Rambam doesn't have it, but that is common practice, as Ravadi said, even for Sfarad. Our Bavi Shofa notes in Sivkatan Yotes that when it comes to Hoshata and the like, even if a woman has a sensitivity, as is normal, that she doesn't want anyone to pick up on the fact that she's being made to do so. And sometimes in a public setting, if you're not going to pass something from husband to wife, that could be apparent to others, but that's not a reason to be makel about the Isser Hoshata or other Harchakos. Rav Moshe is a little bit dismissive of this sentiment. Chelek Beis Yerodei Simen Ayin Zayin. Chelek Beis Yerodei Simen Ayin Zayin. So Rav Moshe writes, not such a bizayon to a woman that people should pick up on the fact that she's a nida. The Adua Lakol Shanashim Hei Nidas Yubeis Yom B'chol Chodesh Kishayinan Zekeinah Salomu Baros. So it's not such a surprise that a normal, healthy, non-postmenopausal woman is going to be Asur Levayla at least 12, 13 days a month. That's part of Teva. That's everyone's situation. It's not such a pella. It shouldn't be such a sensitive thing. V'adar Rabba. In the time of Chazal, we find that women would wear special begadim to flag them as tmeos. The people weren't embarrassed about that, so you shouldn't be so sensitive. The Rabbi Willie points out, it's true that Bimei Chazal, women wore big day nidos, but nowadays women don't wear big day nidos. And nowadays, the whole relevance of Tumah for Nida is only as far as issues Beina Lebein Baila. And therefore, it is Shayach that a woman would be embarrassed to do something in public that could identify her as being Asura Lebaila, as being Bimei Nidusa. And you should be sensitive to the fact that women may have such a sense of such a busha. Doesn't mean that that's any grounds to be makel in any of their chokos, not to be makel in Hoshata, not to be makel in Zvika, but that sensitivity should be taken into consideration when there are other tzadim lahakel along the lines of the crazy place that we quoted last time, that he was concerned about lo tosifa ben degro. So there should be sensitivity to the pretty widespread sentiment that women have that no one should pick up on the fact that she's a nida. Doesn't give you license to bend any of the halachos, but it could inform the orientation to be makel where a kula is warranted. The Chai Adam picks up on such a sentiment. The Chai Adam in Hilchos Pesach of all places, Os Zion in Klal Kuflamid, Klal Kuflamid, Seder Lel Pesach Os Zion. So when the Chai Adam is telling you what's the order of events Lel Seder, he writes that there is a minog. When they lifted up the Ka'ara, that all the B'nai Abayis would lift up the Ka'ara together. They record such a practice. And he writes that sometimes the matriarch of the family is a Nida, and she is embarrassed. L'famim she'ishta Nida v'az mispayashes, o shabab li'dei skok. I assume what he means is that, or people pick up, if she's not going to pick it up, then people pick up on that, and there may be some schok in the reaction, not sure. So it's better to have a low plug, that even if the family practices that everybody picks up the kara, but the wife shouldn't pick up, the mother shouldn't pick up the kara. So Chayyadim is sensitive to the sentiment that women could have, that if sometimes in a public setting she'll act one way and sometimes another way, then people will pick up on the fact that she is on those occasions a nida. That's why the Chayyadim says better that the woman is a low plug. should never pick up the kara, and that way no one would be sensitive and know the difference if 1 year she is and 1 year she isn't. That's what, like Rabbi Willard points out, that he would always be mapping never to hand the besamim out of dala directly to his wife. It's not kind of a low plug, so people around shouldn't pick up. It's sometimes this way, sometimes that way. So chacham ain't a barosha to figure out how to do things wherever you're in the public eye in the most sensitive way, that no one should pick up on any changes in activity. And it shouldn't embarrass a woman. Yeah.
By the ka'ara, is that is that still going to be a problem if everyone's picking it up? I thought if multiple people were doing the same actions.
So we'll talk about that right now, but we're generally machmir that. Okay. Yeah.
It's part of the Moshe not being so concerned about the tznius aspect.
About the busha aspect.
Yeah, the busha aspect.
Yeah.
That which it seems to be a dua, that Moshe has its chobo, is the nida. Does he write that anywhere? Has everybody heard that before? Supposedly he said that, like, yeah, it's known, my wife, whatever, my wife was in nida, you don't need to be shy about it, everybody menstruates, and it's a normal biological phenomenon, and we don't need to be so private about this. Is that recorded anywhere?
Not familiar.
Rabbi's never heard of that.
No. Don't know.
I don't know for sure it's true. That's what I've heard.
Not familiar. Uh-huh. Okay. So to Yoni's point about lifting up things together, so Ramosha writes in Chelek Beis, Simon Ayin Hey, paragraph beginning Ula Harim, that when it comes to lifting up a light object, then it's clear that that's usur for a husband and wife to lift up something light together. That's lo gara from Hoshata. But even something that's heavy, he thinks it should be machmir. You could have argued that something is heavy, so that's just a burden to lift it up. There's no kiruv das. Ramosha thinks that even on a heavy object, a husband and wife should be machmir not to lift it up together. There's a sefer on just on Siman Kuf Tzadi Hey that we haven't quoted yet, but we'll be quoting it a lot going forward, called Sugaba Shoshanim, a Kitzur sefer written, I don't remember if it's the late 70s, early 80s. I believe now they'll bring it in next time. I wasn't able to bring it in today. So in the Sugaba Shoshanim, Perikov Al Siftas, he quotes from Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, same thing, that you're not allowed to lift up a heavy object together. He says, Kal v'chomer, from the din of Sasal Hadisnanedas, that we'll talk about. That just like a husband and wife can sit on a flimsy bench together, even if it's a long bench, because the movement of one will impact on the other. So to lift something up also, the movement of one is impacting on the other. That would be an extension of Sasal Hadisnanedas, which we'll talk about when we get a little bit later in the simon. Rabbi Eider, page 147, quotes from Moshe. There used to be such a thing as a telephone that was connected to a cord. Anyone ever see such a thing? So Moshe said that if the woman's talking on the phone and the cord is dangling on the floor and blocking your husband from walking through the kitchen, as was typically the situation or where a phone with a cord was situated, the Yom Kamonim when I was growing up, So Ramosha says that it's okay for the husband to lift up the cord, even though the wife is talking on the phone that's connected to the cord, in order to pass by. So writes Rav Osner, and Rabbi Eider explains that's considered to be two objects. It's not like you're lifting up an object together, the cord l'chud and the phone l'chud, even though they're connected, but we view them as two separate objects, and therefore the husband can lift up the cord while the wife is talking on the phone. That's the normal tier. It would apply also if the husband's talking on the phone, but more normal the other way. Yeah?
Could I miss this, but the problem of picking up an object at the same time is because it's like an extension of Hoshata?
So either it's an extension of Hoshata or it's an extension of Sasal Abiznadne, that your movement is impacting on the other, that the other spouse senses your movement.
And it's first quoted by Yachon?
Is first discussed by the later Achronim. Yeah, Evan assumes that for something light, that's definitely usur. The question is even something heavy. And the other question is, what are the parameters? So Rabbi, yeah.
Does it matter if there are more than two people?
Doesn't sound like it. That's what the Chayadim assumes by the Kara, that it doesn't matter if there are more than two people, because there's still some movement that's affecting the other. The Debrit Siner Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph Os Aleph. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph Os Aleph. Things that are Sasser. He's mafmi around the telephone cord because he's worried that if you pick up the cord, that may affect the telephone. Meaning you pick up the cord, so it may cause the telephone to move a little bit. And that's like Sasal Ha Mis Nadne. Sugaba Shoshanim is mafmi around this. Perikidal is Sif Aleph. He assumes not like Ramosha. He assumes that it's considered to be one unit. And therefore, you can't pick up the cord while the other spouse is talking on the telephone. It's not such an issue anymore because I don't think anyone has phones with cords anymore. Definitely not in a public area of the house. The Sugaba Shoshinim also is mafmir on taking off laundry together off a clothesline. That they shouldn't both take clothing off a clothesline at the same time because one's movement could impact on the others. Rabbi Eider writes on page 150 that you could be makel to that a husband could read over his wife's shoulder if his wife is reading a book or a newspaper. So you could read over her shoulder if you're careful not to violate Nagia. And Rabbi Ravazer is machmer on that he doesn't think it's a good idea because there you could easily come to Negiah. Sugaba Shoshanim Reif, Perik Yimel, Os Yubeis, again, Hakol Lefi Inyan. You have to act responsibly and intelligently whether a given action that's not specifically flagged as Arakaka is close enough to one of the official Arakakos to be a concern, close enough to create a Chashash Negiah, a Chashash Kirov, a Chashash of Safa Hamasnan or the life, Usher.
Sorry if you may mention this before, but in terms of all these examples, what are just the guiding principles to keep in mind? Because I guess some of these examples are very localized to the time or whatever. So what are just the guiding principles in general?
So there are certain things which are formal on the books or chalkos where there's a low flow. So even whether harchakos or kiruv das oriented, whether some specific harchakos may be a specific kashash negiya. So nevertheless, there are, or hoshata may be a kashash negiya, let's say. So as we discussed last time, there are certain low plugs. So by a long object, the post can say, as we said last time, that it's also asur b'hoshata. Either because we're even a long object with a chashash negi or the arkashach of Sesla plug. So by certain formal arkachos, there's a low plug, even if the specific reason doesn't apply. If it doesn't fit into that formal arkachah, then you're not necessarily going to go with the low plug, and then it may be a judgment call based on the circumstances of whether it's going to lead to kiruv das or negiah. So like this example of reading over a shoulder. So hakol lefi inyan, to some extent, if it's the kind of a positioning that could lead to kiruv das, avoid it. If it's the kind of positioning that could lead to negiah, avoid it. If that's not the case, and it's kind of a normal distance, that's not going to lead to negiah or kiruv das, then it could be better.
So, for example, the things like Scrabble and stuff we talked about last time.
Right.
And this one, the shoulder, is that something that we could make that call for ourselves?
So it's probably a good idea when you first get married to discuss with the posek basic parameters. But sometimes you should be able to decide for yourself, and sometimes maybe you need guidance. But that kind of thing, where there's a hakol lefi inyan, if you know what the parameters are, and you could be a reasonable judge of where it fits, then you could probably decide for yourself. Okay. Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Gimel quotes a tshuva of the Yad Eliyahu. Yad Eliyahu ben Shmuel Lublin, 1655 to 1735. So the bulk of the tshuva discusses whether smelling tobacco is analogous to achila v'shasiya, but the part that the Piskei Tshuva quotes is in the end of the tshuva, where he says that you're not allowed to hold a candle in order to let the other spouse light from that candle. So the way the Piskei Tshuva quotes it is ein isha nida rasha lahaftik ner biyada kadesh yishta baila tabak olachamim atma benerahu olahalik yumenu nerachar. That the wife can hold the candle to either let the husband light his cigarette from, or warm himself from, or light another candle from. And he quotes a raya from a Mishnah in Machshirin, the way the Bar Tanur explains it. Mishnah Machshirin, Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Ha'isha shahayu yadeha tahoros. You have a woman who's tahora. Her hands are tahoros. Umagisa v'kedera tumeya. And she's stirring a pot that is tame. So the woman is tahora, the pot is tame. Im hiziyu yadeha tumeos. So if her hands sweat, then they become tame from the kedera. Says the Bar Tanur, what does that mean? Mizio Yadem, they have a lakadera. So there's a condensation moisture that is being emitted from, a steam that's emitted from the pot. So the pot that's tame, if it causes her hands to absorb that steam, they become tameos. Ki ilu naga b'mashu shavakadera, as if the woman touched the mashku kadera directly. Now the next one, the mission is the opposite case. Hayu yadeh tumeos, I say she's tumea, umagisa v'kedera tahor, and she's stirring a tahor pot, imizio yadeh kedera tumea. So if her hands sweat into the kedera, then the kedera becomes tame. Says the Bar Tanur, lefisha hevel mechaber beina zeya shabiyadeh lemashin shabiyadeh, because there's a chibor between the zeya in her hands and the mashkin in the kedera, so that Zeya creates a chibor, and therefore the tumah is going to be transferred in either direction. So says the Yad Elyo, same thing. If you're going to light a flame from a candle that your wife is holding, so there's some connection between what you're holding and what she's holding, and that is going to be mechaber ki'ilu. There's negia between the two. So says the Yad Elyahu, quoted by the Tiskei Tshuva. So is this relevant to a Havdalah candle? Does that mean that a woman can't hold the Havdalah candle for her husband to say the bracha on, to benefit from at Havdalah? Says Rav Moshe, Yoredei Chel Bei Sivin Pei Gimel, Chel Bei Sivin Pei Gimel, it's not the same. It says, Pasha Deleka Yisr Bezet, Lo Dami to the case of the Yad Eliyahu, because there in the case of the Yad Eliyahu, there's Zeya, there's a direct connection, just like there's Zeya in the Kedera that connects the hands to the Kedera, so too, there's some Hevel that's connecting when you're warming yourself by the fire that your wife is holding, by the candle that your wife is holding, so there's some Hevel that connects your hands to her fire. But here, all you're doing is being nana from the light of the candle. You're just using the light. You're not using the flame for warmth or to light another candle. You're just benefiting from seeing the light. That, there's no chibar. That, Rav Moshe says, is definitely mutter. So there's no objection to a wife holding the Havdalah candle for her husband to recite the bracha on, even if he's benefiting from the light. The Sefer Sugaba Shoshanim, Perek Hey Sifches, he quotes from a Tshuvas Beis Yisrael. If you saw Avram Alter Landau, it looks like it was published post-war, don't know if it was written post-war or pre-war. He quotes from the Tshuvas Beis Yisrael, Simen Yudalit, that first, he was noted to be matir, holding the Havdalah candle, like Rav Moshe writes. There's no chashash negia, there's no chibor. But then he points out, the Mechaber writes in Orachayim, Simen Reish Yitzayin Sifdalin, Reish Yitzayin Sifdalin, and Hilchos Tisam, and Berchos Areach, based on a Rambam, Perek Kaf Aleph, and Nisi Rebiya, that you're not allowed to smell Besamim shel erva. You can't smell besamim shel erva. If a woman who is an erva to you is wearing besamim, you can't smell those besamim. Says the Beis Yosef there, b'shem b'yavud raham. What's the concern? Shema yavo lidei neshika okir vasar. If you're going to smell the perfume on this woman who's asura to you, you may come to neshika or kir vasar. Says the Mishavur there, sivkatan tezayin, reish zayin, sivkatan tezayin, b'shem birka Yosef. This applies to ishto nid as well. You can't, if your wife who's a nid is wearing perfume, you can't smell that either. So says the Chuvah Beis Yisrael, a little bit of a jump. So just like you're not allowed to smell the perfume that your wife is wearing, because smelling perfume by necessity means that you're coming close to her, and then there's a chashash of negia kir basar. So in order to benefit from the Abdullah candle to recite the bracha, you have to be proximate to the Abdullah candle as well. So just like we're concerned, you can't smell your wife's perfume because you're gonna get, you have to get closer to smell. So maybe you can use the light of the candle that she's holding because you have to get close to her in order to benefit from that light. And he says it's even worse than besamim. Besamim, you could smell even if you're far away. And there's no shear for the isser of besamim of an erva. But here you have to be close in order to benefit from the light. And this too is based as well, quotes the remez to this, pausing in Parsha Shemini, lahavdil beina kodesh uveina chol, uveina tamei beina tahor. That when you're being mavdil bein kodesh lachol mosei Shabbos, you also have to be mavdil bein tamei v'tahor between you and your wife who's a nida. So that you shouldn't be close to her, she shouldn't hold the Abdullah candle for you to benefit from. So that's what the Sugaba Shoshanim quotes. He quotes from Rav Naiman, who was the Belzer Dayan in Montreal, that according to Beis Yisrael, should only be a problem if there's other light on in the room, because then you have to get close to the Abdullah candle in order to see the light. But if the other lights are off and you can stand far away, then there shouldn't be a chashash. Beis Yisrael doesn't make that distinction. That's a quote from Rabbi Naiman of Montreal. He says, even if the Sugav Shoshanim says, presumably, even according to Rav Moshe, you shouldn't be on top of your wife. You should be at a reasonable distance, not to get too close. And that's what he quotes from the Knei Bosem as well. The Lach Lamaisa, I believe Minhag Olam, is like Rav Moshe against the Beis Yisrael, that the wife can hold the Abdullah candle and the husband can say the bracha and benefit from the light without being on top of her. And that's different than the chumrah of the Yad Eliyahu by lighting your cigarette from the candle that your wife is holding. Yeah.
In general, are there guidelines in terms of how close they can stand near each other, or is that also
applicable? It's also, I think, Lithuania. It's not, there's no official rules and regulation. But what about the besamim for Abdallah? So the Sugaba Shoshanim paskins in Sifkes that meaning can the wife hold the besamim for the husband to smell from directly? So he says, well, that's the din we just saw in Hilchos Birkos Areya, that you can't benefit from you can't smell the besamim of an erva. Technically speaking, the besamim of the erva that's spoken about in Shulchan Aruch presumably is perfume or something that the woman's wearing, not something that she's holding. So Sugaba Shoshanim thinks that it's aser, the same din. But he says, if you can smell it from a little bit of a distance, it should be mutter. And Rabbi Karp, in footnote 58 on the Siman, thinks that it's pasha that it's mutter, that there's no hergel aveira, it's a dvar mitzvah. This isn't what we mean when we talk about the besamim of a woman, the besamim of an erva, the besamim of a nida. It's a dvar mitzvah. He thinks it's mutter. Rabbi Forrest quotes, this is a Yesh Omrim. He says, you're not allowed to smell your wife's perfume. Yesh Omrim, that a woman shouldn't hold up a summon for her husband for Abdallah. He quotes that from Meir Bransdorfer, Knei Bosem. He points out, which I think I was surprised that the other poskim that discussed this don't point this out, but is really their inyan because they're coming from the Nida angle. Then Hilchos Brachos, it's better to hold it directly. I mean, forget about the Hilchos Nida element over here, but if you're reciting a Berachos Hareach, even if it's Ayde, you'd be also with someone else's Bracha, but it's better that you should hold the Besama yourself in order to smell it, not have someone else hold it for you. So, aside from Hilchos Nida or Chokos, then that anyway is the optimal thing to do. Yeah?
Is it a different pasuk that the husband can hold for the wife?
No, it'd be the same as in both directions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about holding an umbrella over your wife? So, Bali Yosholcha and Sifkat and Kafe is Nego. So writes Rabbi Eider, page 150, as long as you're careful not to touch. And so is the Deborah Ziner Mekel in the Ping Pong Tshuva, Chelik Aleph, Simen Nun. However, Rabbi Karp is Mafmir, and Rav Osner quotes in Me'iri and Daf Samach Dalim and Aleph that the Me'iri there says, when he talks about things that are maybe l'day hergel, the lashon of Me'iri is ba'amidasa samachla b'makom amargel, that standing in close proximity is something that leads to hergel avera. The Rav Osner thinks for that reason you shouldn't hold an umbrella over your wife because you're almost by definition going to be standing in too close proximity. Sugaba Shoshanim Paragimel Sif Yud Aleph says it should be tally on whether you're moving or you're standing. If you're standing in one spot, so then you could safely hold the umbrella over your wife in a way that you're not going to touch and it's not the Kiruv Das. If you're moving together, so then it's harder to avoid touching. And there's more of a Kiruv Das, so that should be avoided. We asked Rabbi Wilk about this once. He said it depends how you're holding the umbrella. If you're holding the umbrella to protect your wife and you're holding it over her, so then that should be mutter, because it's not to protect both of you. You're holding it over her and following her that she shouldn't get wet. If you're holding it over both of you, that it should protect both of you, so then that would be a problem. Torah Hashlamim in Sifkatan Beis writes, where the Ramah tells us about the Yisru Zrika, about Al Digadeha Mashva Demutter, that you can't throw something to your wife for to catch, but you could throw something on her clothing. But Amach Mir Tavo Olav Bracha. Rabbi Karp, Sifkat and Kaf Dalid, says, Abba Malkum Sarech, you could be made like this. Badi Yosholchan, Sifkat and Lamed, right? That you're allowed to throw something into your wife's pocketbook. But he says, Sivkatan Kavzayin, that you can't put something into your wife's pocketbook. You could throw something into her pocketbook, but you can't take something from or put something in her pocketbook.
I assume she's wearing it.
While she's holding it, yeah. And the Debrit Sinner is Mahmer as well. In the same tshuva, Chelag Aleph Simenun Oskes, not to take something out of her pocketbook. So says Rabbi Eider as well, page 146. Rabbi Willig doesn't see why there should be a difference between throwing and putting and placing. So Rabbi Willig is Mako, that you can put something in or take something out of your wife's pocketbook. The tzira of the ritva that we saw in Tzubis, that hoshata yidei shinu is mutter, so this isn't a normal form of hoshata. The tzira of the Rambam, that there's no way to hoshata at all. So, this is according to the Rambam, there's no hoshata at all, even though don't pass in the way. According to the ritva, hoshata yidei shinu is mutter. And it's not at all clear why that hoshata into a pocketbook is b'chlal hashata. So Rabbi Willig thinks you can be mekel to put something in and take something out of your wife's pocketbook. And he says that solves 90% of uncomfortable public situations where a wife or husband need to hand something to each other in public. If you do it through the pocketbook, that often solves any potential embarrassment. In the other direction was Zakinyoni, Rabbi Morgenstern, page Kuf Samachal, of course, Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv asked even throwing into a pocketbook, as did Rav Osner. So you have Rabbi Yashiv, Rav Osner, that you can't even throw into a pocketbook. You have Badi Yashochan, that you can throw, but you can't place, with Debrit Sinner, Ramosh, and Rabbi Eider, that you can't place. And Rabbi Willig's position is not only can you throw, but you can even place. Yoni.
The throwing of the Torah Shlomim is between miyado miyada. This explanation of those words in the...
I'm sorry?
The throwing. The reason that throwing would be okay, right? The Torah Shlomim, throw it onto her clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's not miyado miyada.
Because it's not miyado miyada.
How far does that go? Like, what does it mean you can throw it onto her clothing? Like, if she's wearing an apron that has, like, a kangaroo pouch type of thing, so you can throw it into there. But what about if you're playing soccer and you kick the ball, and she's not going to catch it, she's going to bump it off of her chest, and then...
Well, you probably shouldn't be playing soccer together, but
well,
it sounds like...
Well, it's not miyado
miyada. I'm sorry?
Well, it's not miyado miyada, as ping pong and tennis were. It's miraglo. Miraglo. Meaning, just to ask the question more generally instead of specifically soccer, like, what does it mean to throw it onto her clothing? Does that mean if you want to throw her something, she can't catch it, but she can, like, bump it off her chest and then catch it? Should slide it across the table?
Yes, it sounds like that's... If you're going to be making like this, it means you can throw it onto her clothing in a way that she's not catching it directly.
Okay.
Again, that itself is not a kula that, I mean, even he says Tavol HaBracha,
yeah.
And the poskim don't endorse that as a lechachila, but it's on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the pocketbook is Rabbi Willig's big kula on these issues to solve uncomfortable hoshata situations. Rabbi Willig's other big kula has to do with babies, we'll talk about now. So the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Gimel, the same Sifkatan that we saw before, quotes a Tashbeis, or two Tashbeises. He quotes Tashbeis, Chela Gimel Simen Nun Ches, and Simen Reish Lamed. The way he says it is, Kasa de Mutter Litol Miyada HaTinok. So if the wife is holding on to a baby, husband can take baby directly from wife. Mishum dechai no se es atmo. Because chai no se es atmo, vihi eina osa klom, elahatinok atmo, hu yose mechek imo, uba el oven. Now that's basically verbatim. The actual lesson in Tashbeis Kelegim Rishlamid is vihi eina osa klom, elahatinok atmo, hu yose mechek imo, uba lechek oven. So the wife isn't doing anything. The baby is moving on his own. The Nira said the Pesach Tshuva, the Matino Katan Ochola Okafus Aser the Azlo Shayach Lomer Chai Nosei Zasmo. So the Tashbeis is only talking about where the baby is independently mobile. But if the baby is literally a baby, an infant, or is sick or tied up in an immobile way, then the Tashbeis wouldn't apply. Kamasha Kasav Magen Avram. The Magen Avram that he quotes says that Chai Noseis Atmo in Hilchos Shabbos is only relevant where the baby can walk or the child can walk on his own. So what does Chai Noseis Atmo mean here in the Tashbeis? That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is bothered by Sifkat and Hay. Meaning, Chai Noseis Atmo, to the extent that it's of any relevance in Hotzah, is a local Melaches Shabbos matter. Tosis writes, Shabbos Sadidal and Menal Adim Masal Shal Chai, that that's a Dumya de Mishkan matter. That's local to Hotzah. But what does that have anything to do with Harachokos? So Rabbi Eider points out, probably correctly, that presumably the Tashbeis doesn't mean it in the formal sense of the category of Chaynosis Atzma that we find in Hilchos Shabbos. It means it as a Lashon Mushal that the kid can walk on his own. I mean, that's the distinction that the Tashbeis himself draws, or the formulation that it's not the mother that's doing anything, it's the kid that's moving on his own. So Rabbi Eider says, Im Kain, the whole kula, the Tashbeis, only gets off the ground, pardon the pun, if it's the kid that's doing the jumping, that's independently mobile, but not a baby, a literal baby, who can't move on his own. Right? That's the mashmos of the Tashbeis, as quoted by the Pesach and Tshuva. That's where, yeah.
You're saying dependent? The baby, when it's at an age that it's kind of grabbing towards somebody?
Yeah, that's probably enough for those purposes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Rav Vosner writes that as well. Chayli Beis, Shevet Alevi, Simen Sadi Beis. Chayli Beis, Simen Sadi Beis. That all the Tashbeis meant is where you have a baby that could lunge forward on his own. But Rav Vosner says he doesn't think that you should rely on the Tashbeis even in that case, because the Tashbeis is Lishitaso, as we saw. Tashbeis holds that there's no Isur Zrika. There's an Isur Hashata, there's no Isur Zrika. So if you hold there's no Isur Zrika, so then, just like you could throw something to your wife, then you could have the baby jump to your wife. But if we assume, like the Ramah, that there is an Isur Zrika, so Rav Vosner thinks that there's no added kula for a baby. And Rabbi Willing thinks that you could be Mako. You can be able to pass a baby because baby is a din of a chola and chai no seis asma, whatever that means. And there's a sakana. If you're going to put the baby on the car's hood to have your wife pick it up, that's not the safest situation. And busha. So, but see, with all these factors, Rabbi Willie thinks that you could be mako like the Tashbeis without qualification, that l'chachila, you can pass a baby from husband to wife. And similarly, Rabbi Willi thinks that l'chachila, you can carry a stroller together as an extension of this. So that's Rabbi Willi's second bikula here. Number one is pocketbooks, and number two is carrying babies. Together, those should solve 90, if not more, percent of any potentially public embarrassing situation. Yeah.
Is there Rabbi Willig Mako beyond the Tashbeis, even if the baby's not
Noseis Atzmo? Yeah, he's Mako because if you take the tashbich, if you take chayinos eisas by face value, then that's even dina ben yoma. If you don't say like this hasber, that he didn't really mean it. So b'tziruf, the fact that there's sakana and chola, and the tashbich did say chayinos eisas, he's prepared to be made across the board, and the sakana is more pronounced. The younger the baby is, the sakana slash chola is more pronounced. Other poskim are, we'll come in a second to questions, other poskim are less quick to be makel about carrying a stroller together, but are willing to cut some slack under extenuating circumstances. So Rabbi Eider, for example, is willing to be makel the makom, a difficult situation, if the husband holds the stroller on one side and the wife holds the stroller on the other side to carry the stroller upstairs, and there's no better eitzah, there's no other way to do it, Rabbi Eider is prepared to be makel. Or Sturmbach as well, Shuvas van Hagos, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tafkuf Beis, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tafkuf Beis. So after he says that the minhag is to be mafmir, as we saw from Moshe, that even a heavy object should not be carried together by husband and wife. But he says, Shamati Eidus Ne'amana B'Shem Gadol Afan Zitzal, who is Matir B'davar Kaveh B'Ofen Chi Efshar B'Nin Acher B'Shinun. So when it comes to stroller, there's no other way, and you carry B'Shinun, that should be mutter. So I assume B'Shinun doesn't mean that you're carrying it with your teeth, I hope, but you're carrying it in a non, some kind of a Shinudic fashion. With gloves, with your left hand. So he says, if you do with a shinui, but siraf, that there's no other option. And it's heavy, and it's not derechiba, so yesh lemekel, al mi lismach. Okay.
Are these clues about written anywhere, or is it just like communication?
Whose clues?
The clue about the baby.
Rabbi Willicks?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Rasselowski said.
Oh, it's there? Okay. So then it is. Yeah.
Where the Rabbi's school has that the Iker Tam was the Chola, and there would be Nafkamina that only pass it when it's Litzorah, the baby, but not if it's Litzorah and anything else.
What would Litzorah something else mean?
So the example that I heard was,
yeah,
you're taking family pictures, so to pass the baby from one spouse to the other to get a different pose.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Darkei Tshuva, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, quotes from a Tshuva's Meshiv Dvarim, that if your wife is holding a baby, you're not allowed to kiss the baby. Kind of like the Yad Eliyahu by using a candle, Hergal Aveira. And the Ber Moshe writes the same thing in the beginning of Simen Nun and Chelag Aleph, he quotes the same Shuvas Meishiv Dvarim. But he says, the Devar Tziner says, that if one parent is holding the baby and the other parent needs to feed the baby and there's no other way of feeding the baby and the baby needs to eat, so then there's what to be makel about. Especially if you do it ayidei davar acher. He's not willing to be makel to take the baby from the other spouse, but to feed the baby in a pinch, he's willing to be makel. That's what Rabbi Karp quotes from Avol Yashiv, to give a pacifier to the baby. That if one parent is holding the baby, the other wants to stick a pacifier in the baby's mouth, no chashash hergal aveira, there's no chashash negiah so much, the baby's crying, and the mother holding the baby can't reach the pacifier herself, that would be mutter. Okay. Let's go on now to discuss the din of Shulchan Echad or Ka'ara Achas. So the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. Lo yochol hazav and mazava b'nei hergal avera. Zav and zava can't eat together mishum hergal avera, says Rashi. Lo yochol hazav and mazava koshikein tor mazava. It's not just the zav and zava. Obviously, a tor person mazava is koshikein aser. B'nei hergal avera. B'nei shemito shemis yachdin yavo livo zava shibikaris. So Rashi doesn't mean yichud in the formal sense, the fact that there is this, that they're eating together in a private way, that could lead to be, to an Isra Karis. Okay. So the Mishnah doesn't really indicate what the scope of this Isra is, of lo yochel hazav in hazava, and it's not so clear from the Gemara either. The Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph invokes parallels to basar b'chalav, parallels to the iser of eating basar b'chalav at the same table, but the Gemara does so in the context of comparing it to a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed, hu bebigdo v'hi bebigda. But it's not clear whether those analogies to the Isser of Bas V'Chalav B'Shalchan Echad apply to eating together with Ishto Nida. And that's a major machlokas Rishonim. What is the scope of any such Isser of what the Mishnah means of Lo Yachal Zav Im Hazafa? So the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph Yisui Biya Halacha Yud Ches, Perakid Aleph Yisir Di Alacha Yuches Lo Yochal Ima Bekara Achas. That husband and wife Ishto Nida can eat together from the same plate, from the same tray. But that's the extent of the Isser for the Rambam. There's no Isser of Shulchan Echad. Even if we do find such an Isser of Shulchan Echad B'Bas B'Cholav, that parallel doesn't extend to Lo Yochal Zav Mezava. The Isser of Lo Yochal Zav Mezava is limited to the same bowl, the same plate, the same tray. That's the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Ches. So if that's the case, what is the Tana Isser, so to speak? So Rabbi Morgenstern, beginning at page Kuf Mem Beis, points out sub machlokas Rishonim within this position, within the position of the Rambam, that the Isser is limited to Kar Achas, but there's no Isser B'Shulchan Echad. So is it Mishum Hergal Aveira? Is it that if you're eating from the same plate, from the same bowl, that's going to lead to Hergal Aveira? That's what he quotes from the Hashlama. And therefore, if you eat from two bowls, if you're eating from separate plates, then there's no chashash of hergal aveira. That's hazer gomer. Or he quotes in the Or Zeruah Simin Shin Samech that the reason for the Rambam that there's a hazer of eating from separate plates is because that's a shinui. That fundamentally, any act of eating together is potentially intimate and potentially could lead to Isser. And therefore, you have to have a shinoi from the way that you normally eat. So for the Or Zeruah, then, it sounds like the norm is that husband and wife, as a default, would eat from the same place, from the same plate. And when Ishto Nida, we tell them you have to do a shino, you have to eat from a different plate, you can't eat in the normal fashion. But Rabbi Morgenstern points out, according to that, if you have a husband and wife that normally eat from separate plates, so So then eating from separate plates on the same table may be usher nevertheless. Now, the heter of shulchan efen on separate plates is only where there's a shinoi for the orzerua. But if the norm is that you eat from separate plates, then maybe you might need a different shinoi, and eating on two plates at the same table would be usher. But if, as it sounds like from the Shlama, there's an objective hergal aveira that's engendered by eating on one plate, so that doesn't make a difference if that's the norm or not. There's no concern of hergal aveira if you're eating on separate plates, regardless of what your default is. Yeah.
Hergal aveira is not a chash of touching. It's more than that.
It's more than that, yeah.
Like there's something intimate about eating those.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But so either way, that's the Rambam, and that's, or through a Hashlam or other Rishonim that follow the Rambam. But Rov Rishonim extend the Isser even to Shulchan Echad, and on some level think that there's resonance of the Gemara's comparison on Daf Yud Gimel between Basar B'Chalav and Ishto Nida, even beyond the literal comparison to Mita Achas to Bevigdo V'Ibedeta. There's resonance of that even as far as the Isser of Zav Zava being Ochel together. So the Rashba, for example, Taras Abayis, the beginning of Shar Beis, Gimel Amud Beis, Bedape, Taras Abayis. So the Rashba asks even Shulchan Echad, because he thinks that that comparison of the Gemara to Ofu Gvina, that's Aser even B'Shulchan Echad, applies here as well. And that's what the Ravid is masik on the Rambam. Anu Noagim, Afilu Al Shulchan Echad. The Rambam says the Iser is Karachas. And the Ravid says, Anu Noagim, Afilu Shulchan Echad. Aruch HaShulchan points out, Sivav, that the Ravid here sounds like it's Mitam Mina. That Lidina, you may read the Rambam, that the only formal Iser is Karachas. But Anu Noagim, Afilu Al Shulchan Echad. But it's clear in the Rambam in Bali Nefesh, which we'll get to soon, or next time if we don't, the Rambam beginning of Bali Nefesh, that it's really Medina for the Rambam, not for the Ravid, not even Haga, that the Isser of Shulchan Echad isn't just Minag, but it's Din. And Rav Avadia points out that emerges from the Ravid in Tumas Ochlim as well. The Ravid Perek Hazai in Tumas Ochlim, Halacha Yud Aleph, Hatame v'ator yachdav, mipi ha-shmuel lamdu, shatame v'ator ochlin b'kara achas, says the Rambam. Aval lo yochal abal im ishta b'kara kishetia nida, v'lo yishta ima, v'lo timzo lo gisakos, k'moshe v'yarnu, v'lo yochal zav mizav, nehar galavei reshama yivl. So the Rambam in Tumas Ochlim also limits the iser of tame v'tar eating together as b'kara achas. And the Ravid's Masig, Anu Omrim, Afilu al Shulchan Echad b'mapa achas aser. Even the same table is aser, not nagu, but aser, even al Shulchan Echad b'mapa achas, as long as you don't have separate placemats. So if you read the three Ravids together, you probably have to minimize the significance of the Anu Noagin in the Sirei Bia in light of what he writes in the Bali Nefesh and in Tumas Ochlim. Okay. Then we have the position of the Rush, Perek Al of Shabbos Simon Lamed Beis, who distinguishes between Zmanehem and Zmanenu. That just as we have in Arvei Pesachim, in the context of Siluk Shulchan during the Seder, that the Bali Tosa point out that our tables are different than the tables of Chazal. The tables of Chazal were single person or small tables, small intimate tables, and therefore you could affect Siluk Shulchan during the Seder by moving the table. And nowadays we don't have that, so we have to be Masalik to Karva instead. If you look at the Ritva there, interestingly, the Ritva of Rav Pesachim sounds like the whole reason we have a Ka'ara is as a stand-in for the table in order to affect its Siluk. That we would have just, it used to be, you had all the ingredients in the Seder on the table, and then before Kana Ben Shoel, you would move the table to the kitchen. Nowadays, we don't have that option anymore because our tables are too heavy, so we put all the ingredients on a Seder plate so we have something that we can move easily. That's what the Ritva sounds like. But either way, So the Rush says the same thing over here in our context. Me'ikara then, there is an Isser Shulchan Achad, but the Isser Shulchan Achad only apply to tables of Chazal, which were small, intimate tables. And Me'ikara then, if we sit on big dining room tables, there's no Isser Shulchan Achad. There's still being the Isser Kara Achas, but no Isser Shulchan Achad. Nevertheless, the minhag is to be machmir to use a hecker. That medina, if you have a small table, the tables of Chazal, so husband and wife can't eat at the same table. Nowadays, there's no such iser medina. Nevertheless, mimin haga, you can eat at the same table, but you should have a hecker. And that's what the Kipser Piskei Rush writes, tov lasos hecker. The Ritva says the same thing. Yud Gimel of an Aleph and Shabbos. Dibur Masvah de Tanan. V'yesh Omrim. Dibur Shalchanos Shalahem Sheyuktanos Huda Asru. V'kol Hecha Di'ika Banu V'bnei Beis Levada Shari. So if there are other people at the table, it's definitely important. We'll get to that. Ubasar Gvina Nami Hecha Di'ika Shinoi Shari Kedemashu Le'alxas. So where there's a Shinoi by Basar v'chalav is mutter, and where there's a shinoi here also is mutter. He frames shinoi in the context of banu b'nei beso imo, which we'll get to soon. And the tour, the way the tour writes it, is that the requirement of heker b'shulchan of shalanu is me'iker hadin. So Rav Avadya thinks that what the Torah must mean, he's not arguing on the Rush. Now the Rush says that a heker isn't necessarily a heker adin, that's if there are other people sitting at the table. But if there's no one else on the table, then the Torah thinks that there is a heker necessary, me'ikar adin. So to review, according to the Rambam, the Isser only applies to Kara Achas, there's no Isser of Shulchan Achas. According to the Ravid, according to the Rashba, there's an Isser Shulchan Achad as well. Trusting the Ravid, whether that's Mimanhag or Medina, sounds like it's Medina. According to the Rash, there's an Isser Shulchan Achad and Me'ikar Adin only in the Shulchan of Chazal. In our Shulchan of Me'ikar Adin, there's no Isser, but there's a Lechachil requirement of Heker, and the Torah sounds like in our Shulchanos, there is a requirement of Heker, Li'ikuva. What does the Mechaber write? Lo yochol ima ala shulchan elin kein yesh shum shinoi she yesh shum davar mafzik bein ka'ara shala l'ka'ara shala lechem o kankan o she yochol ka echad b'mapa shala, that there's an iser even b'shulchan echad, but we're makel if there is a shinoi slash heker, either something separating husband and wife, like lechem or kankan, or each one is eating on their own placement. And the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim, hadit zrichin hefzik bein kara shalo l'kara shala, haynu dafka k'she'enon ochlin v'kara achas, k'she'i Torah, avalim ochlin v'kara achas, k'she'i Torah, sagi im ochelas v'kara b'fnei asma v'in zrichin heker acher. If they always eat from one plate, so then you don't need a heker as long as you're eating on two plates. The chayin, no okay. Okay, Ravad is bothered. Why does the Mechaber abandon the Rambam? The Rambam only answered Karachas. And the Mechaber is answering Shulchan Echad. So he's abandoning the Rambam, and he's abandoning the Rush. Because the Rush only answered B'Shulchan V'Shalahem. And to the extent that it requires a heker, in our Shulchan, it's only Mimin Haga, not Medina. And the Mechaber sounds like it's Medina. So Ravadi just points out that Lashon Beis Yosef is V'chei Naho Galma, that the Mechaber also isn't necessarily saying this is Ledina. He's just reflecting that this was the minhag already in his time to be Machmir like the Rush, even if it's not a necessary Medina. Okay. So I want to give you a little time before the next presentation. Let's stop here. And Mirza Shem, we will pick up with this on Sunday. You around on Sunday? Yeah? No? Everyone else?
I'm out.
You're out? Okay, who is here? Show of hands.
You want to
name? What?
Maybe you want to also be here.
Yehuda.
Oh, sorry, Yehuda. Sorry.
Yehuda won't be here. Yep.
Okay.
No, Yehuda won't be here Sunday. So again, we have five who will be here.
I do.
I know who you are. Who I named. I know who you are.
Right. Again, who will be here Sunday?